This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. Jiu-jitsu is a Japanese form of martial arts that was sometimes called art for samurai who are temporarily lacking weapons, even if their opponent is fully armed. It has a number of different modern-day spin-offs, including Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is practiced both for self-defense and sport. My guest today is a master of both the physical and psychological challenges of jiu-jitsu, and she took her grappling game to the international stage earlier this year and won.
Yeah! Yeah! Kim Rice!
All right!
Kim Rice!
Woo!
Yes!
Oh,
Kim!
So proud of
you! World champion!
Kim Rice!
Kim Sarah Rice is the 2018 Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Adult Brown Belt World Champion in the women's heavyweight division. By day, she lives in Durham and works as a speech therapist, and she joins me now. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Anita. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yes. So for people who are out there listening who do not know what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is, how would you describe it to them?
Well, it's a self-defense martial art, and so if you train at a self-defense school, like I do, you're going to do things like, you know, what do you do if someone comes behind you in a bear hug? Or what do you do if they pin you against the wall? Or like, what do you do if they kick you or throw a sucker punch? But the tournaments look more like aggressive hugging. You know, like we go for takedowns, but then we're on the ground rolling around. And then we try to get to a pin or a position of dominance. And then we try to look for a submission. So like a chokehold or a joint lock.
Okay, so there's a difference between the self-defense component and what you would call the competitive aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, there are some schools that only train the sport aspect of it, and then there are some that are more of like all-inclusive martial arts.
Okay.
And so I train at a place that, you know, it trains the self-defense aspect and the competition aspect.
And you mentioned the word grappling. I know that's an important part of the technique. What does that look like? What is the technique of grappling?
Like I said, like to the untrained observer, it looks kind of like aggressive hugging because like you're sort of entwined in your opponent. Like you're like overhooking arms, like they're wrapped in your legs. You're sort of like rolling around on the ground like a couple of puppies who are wrestling.
So how did you get involved other than just wanting to hug people a lot?
Well, I do like hugging people. Kind of randomly, I was training at a cardio kickboxing place where not as like a martial art per se, but just as a way to get in shape. And you do rounds on the heavy bag, and then like between rounds, you're doing like burpees and push-ups and that kind of thing. And I thought I was a stud because I can kick the bag really hard, you know, but not really realizing that like the bag doesn't kick me back. So I really wasn't doing much besides getting a good workout, which is fine. And then they were starting a jiu-jitsu program there. And so they, you know, I had never heard of jiu-jitsu. It's not like I grew up watching, you know, the early UFCs. I'm like, oh, I want to be a fighter. It was nothing like that. So I randomly went and tried it, and then I loved it. Like, it was so fun. Like, you're wrestling around on the ground with other adults, and when can you do that? Like, it was just, I'm like, wow, this is for me, you know?
And so I know you are an athlete. You have a history as a swimmer. What was it about jiu-jitsu that felt different to you?
I think that I liked that it was a contact sport. Like, I've never really done contact sports before in terms of, like, ball sports and stuff. But open water swimming is what I really enjoyed. And something that I liked about open water swimming as opposed to the pool is that, like, there's a little bit of contact. Like, if you're going towards a buoy and, like, you're racing two people, you're going to kind of, like, try to get inside them to beat them to the bull, you know, the buoy. And so there's a little bit of, like, jostling around. Like, you're not going to get hurt or knocked out or anything, but it's a little bit of a way to, like, you're just, like, wrestling in the water a little bit.
Yeah, you know? So the physicality of it drew you in.
And, like, as an adult, it's not something that you get to do in your daily life, you know?
Is there anything, as you began to practice it, about the psychology of the sport that felt interesting or exciting to you?
To me, it's very zen because when I'm rolling or sparring, I'm completely present in the moment and I'm not thinking about work or I have to do this or that or that. I'm thinking about, I don't want to get choked out right now, you know? So I'm completely present and I'm thinking about me and my body and breathing. So it's kind of like yoga, but more violent. So I like that.
And is there an aspect of the physicality of that feeling of strength that was unique to you as a woman in sports? I know the majority of people that practice Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I think, are still men.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like something like 80 or 90% are men.
Okay. So what did it feel like to be a woman training in this way?
Honestly, at first it's really scary because like you're going into a gym where you might be the only woman or maybe there's one or two there. I was the only one when I started. And so I really enjoyed it, but like you're in a room full of sweaty men and it's kind of weird. Like it's an intimate sport and you're like, you want to put your hand where? Like that doesn't sound right. And they're like dripping sweat in your eye and like, you know, but it's so empowering once you start to do it and you do it consistently for a couple of years. It's one of the most empowering things I've ever done.
And how were you received in that space by the other men doing it?
Well, I think it would completely depend on the school, but it was like a great experience for me. But, you know, for other women interested in it, I think you definitely need to choose a good school that is a safe and inclusive place without a lot of machismo and things that would turn people off.
I know one of the things I read about jiu-jitsu that I thought was interesting was it was designed to be a sport that people with less physical strength could excel in because of the
Absolutely,
technique that it involves.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the basis of it. So, but it still takes a long time. Like, you have to be a nail for the long time before you can be a hammer, is the saying, right? So for everybody who starts, they get beat up for years, maybe not years, but for a long time before they start to beat other people up. And women, I think it can take even longer because we do have, you know, like, because we're a minority in the space. And then there's like a size difference too. So like our time to be the nail sometimes is longer than other people. And so it can really be hard, you know, for a little bit. But then once you get past that point, it's very empowering.
What was the journey for you specifically to becoming the nail? How did you develop your technique?
I think just repetition, and not quitting is the key to jiu-jitsu.
And we just said that you won at the World Championships. Tell us about that win. What did it feel like? How did it happen?
Oh, my gosh. I'm still so excited about it. Because I go there every year, and I really hope I'm going to win. And usually I leave heartbroken. And this year was just a really good year. And I'm still so excited that I won.
What did you do technique-wise that you think led to your win?
Well, I think it was a combination of a lot of things. Like, my technique was on point. My strength and conditioning was very good. I was on weight a week early, which I had never done before because, like, I really like to eat. So I have a hard time with that. And mentally, I think, was the biggest key is that I didn't just hope that I was going to win. I believed I was. I really believed that I was going to win this year. And so I did.
What does it look like or what does it sound like in your head to believe that you're going to win? What story were you telling yourself?
Well, like women's divisions are very small and you can go and look online and see who's in your division. And it's very easy just to go and Google stalk them. And then everybody looks so good on paper because everybody's won these big tournaments, right? And it's so easy to think like anybody here can beat me, you know, and it's true. Like the next time we compete, they can definitely beat me. But I had to just say, you know what? I've won big tournaments too, and I can beat any of them. Like, if I do what I'm, you know, the game plan for this day, I can beat anybody here in my division. Yeah, but so.
So whatever happens, whatever I've seen of their videos and their game, I need to tell myself the story that I could still win.
Yeah. I am the world champion is what I told myself.
So you came to this from a history of long-distance swimming, which we said your mom was also a long-distance swimmer who swam the English Channel when you were a young kid. Is that right?
Yeah, she swam so many long events. Yeah.
How has her work as an athlete inspired you?
Well, like, she used to win so many things. And she's just somebody who loves to go out and test herself and loves to win. And she's somebody who's really sweet and humble and would never tell you how much she loves to win. But I can tell you that woman loves to win. And we used to go and race each other when I was a kid. And I would always be like, I'm going to beat my mom. And once, I think I was like 13, was the first time we were doing like a 1 mile race. And she was winning the whole race. And I sprinted past her at the end in the water. And I'm like, I beat my mom. And I was so happy. I got out of the water. I was running. And I had the biggest smile on my face. And then she dove underneath me, under the flags, to beat me. And I'm like, this is what's up. Like, she loves to win. She loves the race. And, like, I do too, you know?
So you got that from her.
I got that from her. Yeah.
You also.
She's my role model.
You were the oldest woman in your category at the World Championships.
Yeah.
And your mom also became an elite athlete later in her life.
Yeah, and she beat a lot of young people a lot of times.
So what was that like, that age difference for you?
I think that I don't think about it that much because, like, I grew up with it. Like, it seems normal to me. And people are saying, wow, you won at 37. And I'm like, well, I feel stronger than ever. Like, I don't feel old. Why, you think I'm old? Stop it.
Has doing the sport changed your relationship with your body, do you think?
Yes, because I think I listen to my body more. So especially the older I get, the more I listen to my body when it's hurt so that I don't get injured. I've never had to take off more than like a month of training due to an injury, knock on wood. And I think it's because I'm conscious of, oh, this hurts. Let me not go hard, hard, hard every day, but let me go hard, easy, and just do what I need to do to stay healthy. You know, because it's better to go like 80% every day than to go like 100% and then be so dead that the next day you're like 20-30%.
And so when you talk about going 80% versus 100%, what does training actually look like on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis for you?
Well, I do a lot of jiu-jitsu class as much as I can. These days I'll take off like 2 days a week of sparring, you know, and rest. And I do a lot of high-intensity interval work at CrossFit. And then I'll do some recovery runs or swims as well.
And I know your husband is your coach or one of your coaches.
Well, he was my coach at Worlds.
Okay.
He's not my coach.
What is it like to work with him and share the sport with him?
He is the best training partner you can ask for. He is so encouraging and supportive and lets me beat him up all the time. And he beats me up too, but in a nicer way. And like, it's so nice just to be able to go home and watch a video and then go into our mat room and drill that, you know, that new move or drill whatever we learned in class that week and work on that.
So you have sort of an at-home space that you all can spar together.
Yeah, we have a mat room in one of the guest rooms. So it's really nice.
And has he informed your psychology, your sense of psychology of the sport in any way?
Yes, in that, like, he always believes in me and gives me confidence that I might not have in myself.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And how have you been able to impart that onto other women in the space that you share with?
Yeah. I mean, I try to make sure that I always believe in them and tell them that they can do it. It's really hard at first, but you just have to stick with it and get past that point, and then it does get easier, and it's awesome. Once you get there.
Is there a community of women in jiu-jitsu?
It is the most supportive community you can imagine. Like, we all compete against each other in local tournaments. And so, like, you would think that, like, there'd be, like, a rivalry of not wanting to go train at each other's schools. But that's completely the opposite. Like, the local jiu-jitsu scene is the most inclusive and welcoming environment that you can imagine. And the women in particular are just amazing here.
I've had conversations in the past about other kinds of martial arts, and I've heard this interesting tension that some women present between it being something that makes them feel confident in their body because they can go out in the world and know that if they have to encounter someone, they can take them. It also gives them the sort of psychological strength to be in tune with their body and feel empowered with what they have. For you, sort of walking around in the world when you're not in the gym, how does the shape how you feel?
Oh, it's absolutely empowering. Like, I've never had to use jiu-jitsu in self-defense, and I hope that I never do. Like, I'm lucky I've never been attacked or anything like that. But I think it changes the way I carry myself, and I stick up for myself more now than I did before, and I say no when I want to say no. Also, like, at work, I go into different houses and things, and I love my job, and most of the people I work with I love. Like, the families are great. I'm very comfortable there. But in the 10 years I've been doing this, there have been a house or two I go into where I'm like, this makes me feel a little sketchy. Like, women have that intuition that, like, you know, the little hairs, you know, on our neck, they stand up. And there's the occasional house that I'm like, I'm not super comfortable here. And so it's really great to know that I have jujitsu in case I need it, you know.
It is a tool in your toolbox.
Yeah, I hope I never, ever use it. But, you know, I'm glad to know it's there.
And so you won as a brown belt. Do you aspire to become a black belt? What does that even look like?
Yeah, I mean, of course, everybody aspires to be a black belt. I think I have a few years to get there. It's not just about winning tournaments, but it's about having an answer for everything and teaching that to another person. You know, so like jiu-jitsu is not like one of those martial arts where there's a McDojo at every strip mall and like you're, you know, you have a neighbor who is 10 years old and has been training for a year and he's a black belt. But no, it's not like that in jiu-jitsu at all. It's a very long path and it's very meaningful to get a black belt in it.
Wonderful. It seems like you are well on your way. Congratulations on your world championship.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for talking with us. Kim Sarah Rice is the Jiu-Jitsu Adult Brown Belt World Champion in the Women's Heavyweight Division. You can find out more about her and everything else we talked about today at our website, stateofthings.org. The State of Things is produced by Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is the technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao.